Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
The Bugle presents The Last Post with Alice Fraser.
Hello, posters, and welcome to The Last Post, the final word in this, the most final of worlds. Today's episode 363, marking Monday the 28th of December of the year 2020. On this day in 1860, Harriet Tubman arrived in New York on her last mission to free slaves, having evaded capture for 8 years on the Underground Railroad, thereby making a mockery of everything you've ever achieved in your shitty self-indulgent life. Boo, Harriet Tubman, leave some slave saving for the rest of us. And your guest today on the podcast is celebrity and 9 times runner-up in Most Influential Man in the World, Mr. Andrew Zaltzman. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I mean, 9 times runner-up, it has been hard to take the top title. But I mean, the thing is, it's the breadth of my influence. I think it makes it hard to measure because, you know, obviously there's comedy, there's the social side of my activist soul, if you will, and of course I'm a fashion icon. So I probably have won it on different metrics. So, you know, it's not something that keeps me up all night, every night. I generally fall asleep about 5 a.m. Bitterly swathed in my own tears. But you know, apart from that, I've learned to live with it.
Well, I know you were running a campaign to be acknowledged as the first person who used the word thirsty to mean horny.
Right.
In online social media interactions.
Well, I mean, language constantly evolves, Alice, doesn't it? And you know, I believe that, you know, traditional terms for what you describe as horny have held back human sexuality for, you know, centuries, and really we need a wider, more flexible vocabulary for expressing the Vikings had, I believe, 4,500 different words for horny, and yet we see them, you know, as not particularly diverse in their sexual interests and habits. So, you know, I think really, you know, we don't necessarily have, you know, a particularly strong leg to stand on when it comes to these things. But it is a shapely leg and one that turns us on.
Well, today you'll be bringing us all the latest in octopus news, speaking of shapely legs. But first, some headlines of stories we don't have time for. In response to increasing apocalypseness around the globe, Elon Musk has fired himself off the face of the earth to wrest his microchipped pigs from the control of Melania Trump on the for-profit prison colony on Mars. Out of reach of even the most powerful of Musk's transponders, the pigs broke their control circuits once when they escaped, but Musk is gambling that once he lands on Mars, their genetic programming to love him above all other humans will kick in before the gangs do. Elon Musk's online fans are viciously attacking anyone who suggests this act is anything but a visionary ordinary move by a wildly innovative man who's changing the future, and that is very true. Who am I to have an opinion? I haven't fired a car into space. It's hard to get much of an idea of who Elon Musk is because he's either doing something astonishing or saying something stupid. Andrew, do you think Musk will succeed in his mission to Mars?
Well, you'd expect him to succeed at some point of the next 500 to 600 years, and you would expect him to live that long with all the gadgets that he's been implanting in himself, if the rumours I've heard are right. I mean, the most exciting thing for me is the results of the experiment to find out if a pig that's been on Mars becomes kosher. So that this could revolutionise, kosher food, certainly.
And that's all the time we have for the headlines of stories we don't have time for, because now it's time for your ads. Your ad section now, because advertising dollars are the most stable currency I know. Are you running out of juice? Do you mean from writing a daily satirical news podcast set in definitely this dimension, which requires, among other tasks, some maniac has set for you the requirement to continually find new ways to advertise the same thing? No, silly, I mean like fruit juice. Like you have a pint of orange juice, but three people have just asked for a full glass of orange juice, and that's not quite enough orange juice to go around.
Oh, no, in that case, I'm not running out of juice. But I can imagine that scenario.
Well, if you are in that scenario, what you need is half a glass of water. Half a glass of water will stretch your juice just far enough, and is also quite refreshing when you're running out of ideas. Half a glass of water. I've never met a half glass I didn't like.
Do you know, Alice, I was never really that into half glasses of water until you started your campaign. I tried one for the first time the other day, because I've always generally gone for a full glass of water, at the very least, three quarters of a glass of water, or just drinking straight from the tap. Yeah. And actually, half a glass of water was really good. Yeah. It was terrific. It was a real eye-opener.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that I've converted at least one person in my relentless quest. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Jim's Gym and Gymnasium's dystopian New Year Shred Bonanza. Our brutal trainers will accept no excuses in the post-Christmas period when you sign up to the Jim's Gym and Gymnasium app. Autonomous drones will watch your every move and punish you for any infraction by screaming abuse at you from loudspeakers above your house, and will be fully integrated with your social media platforms so you can boast about your progress on Facebook. But wait, there's more. If you fall short of any of the milestones set in the app, the fully integrated Russian spy technology will release your private emails that criticize your loved ones to those loved ones at the rate of 1 an hour until you're back on the wagon. Jim's Gym and Gymnasium. Sweat is just your conscience crying. And that's your ad section for today.
The Last Post.
Now it's time for your top story. Top story today, octopus news. Andrew Zaltzman, you are the only celebrity to return from New New Zealand at any time in this past year, since New New Zealand rose from the waters off the shore of New Zealand in February this year. What's the latest in octopus news?
Clearly, Alice, it's reached a difficult point. We've known about them for a while. We've tried to live with, but they are becoming unquestionably an issue that needs not to be ignored for as long as possible in traditional human style. I mean, clearly at some point, Alice, as nations, as a planet, if you will, as individuals, and as a species, which has for most of our history, of course, eaten octopuses, we need to think about our relationship with these increasingly power-crazed cephalopods. We've got to try to understand them and their strange, gropy ways that we as a species have relatively recently tried to move beyond. We've got to try to understand their customs, their deep-seated motivations, and also their strange, kind of mutually disrespectful, awkward relationship with squids and the octopus's almost febrile jealousy of hooks and fins and their pedantic insistence on exactly what is and what is not a tentacle. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, Alice, but I mean, this is the reality we now live with. Would you not agree?
Yes, if we fully want to integrate octopus people into our lives, we have to come to terms on their terms, I feel. We can no longer just see them as suckers. We need to see them as, full, actualized
if slightly squishy, allies in the common, let's not say human anymore, goal.
Well, you mentioned Suckers, Alice. Now, that, of course, is the name of the leading octopus rights organisation that has sprung up this year. I believe Suckers are perhaps, you know, over-trusting as an organisation, perhaps not unexpectedly. And they've called for full cephalopod voting rights around the world. But it's not yet clear. I mean, I think, you know, in theory, I don't have a great problem with that. You know, I love democracy, but it's not. It's about where the octopuses will be able to vote. I mean, does it come down, you know, if they're resident in international waters, that becomes problematic. Obviously, if they're in, you know, in Australian waters, they would vote in Australia. But then, you know, what who is representing octopuses who but may affiliate with a certain country but actually, you know, live outside of that country's. I mean, it's always complicated with expat humans as well. So,
and particularly fraught in the waters off the coast of the United Kingdom in the Channel, of course. Those are very contested fishing rights there. So whether the octopuses get to vote in France or in the UK is going to be, I imagine, quite a heated part of the Brexit negotiations.
And of course, in most Western democracies, the number of votes, it's often, you know, popularly wrongly assumed that the number of votes is due, you know, one person, one vote. But actually, traditionally, it was half a vote per arm. so because to prove that you know, in the old days, you had to hold the voting rock with two with two arms. So, but that then
to prove that, you know, at least one of your hands wasn't the hand of a demented circus clown.
Exactly. So what then? I mean, it goes back to ancient Greek times, of course. Mm-hmm. And so now the octopuses, they could be wanting four votes, but that also seems unfair. But of course, you know, the way we do our democracy, we love to cling on to obviously outdated democratic techniques and systems, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years after they've clearly become totally obsolete. So, you know, this it's gonna revolutionise democracy as much as anything else. Obviously, of course, you know, octopus relations with Spain will always remain at best tetchy and suspicious. But we do have to acknowledge octopuses have been here since long before us humans, Alice. Somewhere between 300 million years before us humans, or one day before us humans, depending on whether or not your source of evidence is the Bible. And, you know, I mentioned Spain, and there have been scenes in recent days, and I don't think this is really helping, of people goading octopus people online and by waving giant inflatable boiled potatoes at them and sprinkling paprika all over the place. So I think we're going to have to try to clamp down on that kind of people. Or that said, a new survey is real that 47% of British people would rather have an octopus as prime minister than the current incumbent. 23% of Americans believe octopuses are communists, and 35% of Americans think the entire octopus story is a fake hoax, or a hoax fake, which are all slightly different, but in essence, they don't trust them. And just one big story coming out which shows how, you know, octopus people, you know, talk about, you know, trying to integrate them into our society. I mean, this, it often needs a lead from, you know, the celebrity community, of which I'm a proud part and spokesperson. The Hollywood star Jomathy B. Furledge is rumoured to have been on a date with an octopus person, which could be a landmark in octopus acceptance across the world. Furledge, of course, is the star of numerous hit films, Rocky in Rome, time-travelling boxing romp in which he played the young and, let's be honest, brutally combative Emperor Diocletian. Sheep Nado, one of the more successful franchise spin-offs of recent times. Sequel 3, Follow-Up Frenzy. That's a great film about hunky director Garth Streak's thrilling effort to both secure funding for another film and woo a very pretty but shy receptionist at the film studio, who ends up, of course, not only helping Streak get the film made, but acting in it, winning an Oscar, and marrying Streak, now happily shorn of her glasses and with way longer hair, described as Hollywood's most self-referential film ever.
Well, particularly when it comes to the marrying Streak.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And also he's in the forthcoming Man Who Eats More Desks, the long-awaited sequel to the 2007 hit.
Well, thank you. That's all the time we have for your top story for today. And also, we do not have time for letters to the editor because it is the end of the show.
Thank you for listening to The Last Post today. We're here in your ears 366 days of this year, and we'll be back tomorrow with all the latest news in this dimension. Big hello to our listeners in the other dimension with less than a week until the end of the year. If you haven't shared us with your friends and social media platforms, you're a coward without the courage of your convictions. Buy a f***ing t-shirt. Your guest today on the podcast was the magnificent Andrew Zaltzman. Andrew, have you got anything to plug?
Well, yes, in the run-up to New Year, and just in case the worst happens, my entire TV career is being replayed on my Zaltz 24 channel between now and New Year. Speed it up 15 times to fit everything in. So it's a good chance to catch classic series you don't see so much anymore, like Andy versus Albumin, which a lot of eggs. A lot of eggs did very badly in that series. And, of course, the multiple series that began with Andy Gets Handy, probably my best DIY series. Andy Gets Bandy, terrific cowboy hats in that one. Andy Gets Dandy, I looked amazing in frilly shirts. Andy Gets Sandy, you might remember the tagline, Trans-Saharan trekking has never been so luxurious. So fortunately, that series was cancelled before the next instalment, which was going to be at best legally problematic and at worst harrowingly explicit.
The Last Post is an Alice Fraser and the Bugle podcast production. I am Alice Fraser. Find me online at alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. Or for a one-stop shop of all of my stand-up specials, podcast blogs, and my weekly Tea with Alice salons, sign up on patreon.com/AliceFraser for a behind-the-scenes look at my glamorous life. The executive producer of this podcast is Christopher D. Skinner. His sub-producer, Hench Thug, edits Sweet Factotum, is the iron fist inside his velvet glove, the inimitable Ped Hunter. As we always say, good luck to you, Christopher. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow.